Welcome into the Rebel Room. Ryan Green, Alex Adianju here. It is sweltering in here, by the way.
It is fire.
Our podcast studio.
Hot fire.
Our podcast studio right now is just almost unbearable. To the point
hot fire.
And we can't crack that door either, because then we're going to disturb all the other one person who's here on Sunday afternoon. But
we can crack the door if you want to crack the door.
Nah, it's all good. We'll kick it. We'll keep it old school here, like we always do. But despite the heat in here, we are we're soldiering through it because there's something really worth being here on a Sunday afternoon in a sauna to talk about, and that is UNLV's 23-20 overtime upset of Arizona State Saturday night in Tempe. Number 15, Arizona State. There's so much to talk about here. Where would you start it off, Alex?
I just want to start out by apologizing to UNLV. I picked against them last week on the Rebel Room. I picked against them bad. And I'm sorry. I did not believe.
I don't apologize. I mean, I don't apologize for I picked them to cover the spread, though.
Well, I think I did. Say that I much. Did as well.
But I'm not going to apologize, but, I mean, on paper, you know, Arizona State looked like the better team coming in. The thing is, about midway through, I'd say maybe the second or third quarter, you could kind of tell Arizona State was, their minds were maybe somewhere else Saturday night.
They have that big Georgia game coming up next week, and they looked unfocused. Like, mm-hmm. They really did not want to be here. They were waiting for next week. And like Frank Summers says, well, they play Georgia next week, and best luck to them.
Now they can play them.
They can play them.
They got their practice in. That was maybe the greatest quote after the game, was hearing Frank Summers and Jason Beauchamp both give the, well, all right, now they can have Georgia. We're done.
Well,
this was a nice practice. And you know, who knows what's going to happen for Arizona State. This is a big hit for their BCS aspirations, obviously. You know, it doesn't affect the Pac-10 record. They could still do some damage there, and maybe they learned a lesson here. But let's talk about what this means for UNLV, because things certainly get a little favorable right now.
This is huge. I mean, when you look at the schedule coming up next couple of games with Iowa State and Nevada, Reno, they have the opportunity to do something big coming in these next 3 or 4 weeks. The key is, like Coach Sanford said Saturday, was that after they beat Utah last year, they went out and lost 8 straight to end the season. Mm-hmm. They can't do that anymore.
They didn't capitalize.
They can't do that anymore. They have to play like they played last week, every week now, and see what happens.
And, you know, like you said, I mean, the fact that this is at home is big. Because I would imagine next week for Iowa State, who it comes in at 2-1, they lost 17-5 to rival Iowa on Saturday in Iowa City. There's going to probably be, I would guess, 9,000 faces, 8 to 10,000 faces at Sam Boyd Stadium that otherwise had last night's game played out in the way a lot of people thought it would. 8 to 10,000 people who weren't going to be there anyway, or weren't going to be there originally. Now that this is a big win, and it timed out well because you do have two home games, including your biggest rivalry game 2 weeks down the road.
I mean, the old saying, first impression is always the best impression. You know, this is going to be a lot of opportunity for new fans to come out here and watch UNLV on Saturday night. If they play well, they'll keep coming back. If they play bad, they'll be like, oh, that's the same UNLV we've always known mm-hmm. and love. You know what I'm saying? This is a big game. But back to this Arizona State game, I mean, how did this happen?
Well, you know, I thought there were two keys in that second half that really got the ball rolling. One was the defense. The defense started just making stops. They, you know, in the first half, it was a bend don't break sort of thing. You know, they were letting the yards get there, but they weren't allowing a lot of scoring. They weren't letting this thing get out of control. But Arizona State was moving the ball. In the second half, it turned into neither bend nor break. Arizona State found it tough to move the ball after halftime. With the exception of a couple big plays, they really didn't do much. They didn't sustain drives. And then when UNLV got the ball, they got a running game going consistently. Frank Summers finished with 103 yards on 22 carries. Keep in mind, his first 7 carries of the game, this goes to about the end of the third quarter, his first 7 carries had netted 8 yards. So that means that he had 95 yards on his final 15 carries. Yeah, I got the math right. 95 on his final 15 carries. I mean, and that just makes things so much easier, and you could see that just with the way Omar Clayton was working it really changed things.
And towards the end, Arizona State did not want to tackle Frank one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
They would get hit, they would fall back, and more guys would jump on top of them. And Frank really put the team on his back, literally, and ran them to the touch to victory. But, I mean, Omar Clayton, he really played great. I mean, he really became the quarterback. There's no more questions about when Clausen will come in, Michael Clausen will come in. It's now Omar's team, and they're going to ride him till he can't be rode anymore.
Oh, yeah, and you know, you can't argue against anything Omar's done this year. In three games, he's got 6 touchdown passes, no interceptions. This team has yet to commit a turnover in 3 games. That's the longest a UNLV team has ever gone without a turnover into a season, to start a season. That's pretty incredible in itself. And also, you know, talking about Frank Summers a little bit ago, how dare I forget mention the offensive line, because, I mean, that was the first thing Frank said in crediting it. The offensive line definitely got stronger as the game went on. But you're right. This is Omar Clayton's team now, and the way he was talking after the game, he's not one who in front of the media shows much emotion or anything, but you could kind of sense that he was carrying himself a little taller after that game.
And the thing was, he stayed poised
mm-hmm.
all game. He never got rattled. When he had the fourth down goal in the second quarter, he threw that pass to Philip Payne, who made another great play. They didn't get rattled that final drive. He played like he was a fifth-year senior playing background intramural football,
mm-hmm.
just completing pass after pass, giving his receivers more time to run, getting out of the pocket, and finding players open. I mean, you can't ask for more from Omar Clayton last night on Saturday night.
Yeah, and then you add in the whole thing about they thought he had a broken jaw at halftime. He didn't start the second half. Mike Clausen did, and, you know, he came back in, and you really can't give him enough credit for last night, you know, using his legs to keep plays alive late in the game. And then, of course, you mentioned it, Philip Payne. I mean, it's very hard to, you know, I remember being when we were up in Ely during training camp.
You were the first one who saw this.
Well,
before anybody else.
It was unbelievable. They threw these fade patterns when they were running red zone drills every single day, and no one could stop him. And he was catching these touchdowns on these fade patterns, and you're wondering, well, what else can he do? You know, it doesn't even matter. Because 3 games into his career, they've thrown that pass 4 times to him in the red zone, and 4 times he's caught a touchdown, including easily what will go down as one of the top plays of this college football season.
The one-handed grab was simply amazing. I mean, I was shooting the video. My voice cracked. I'm sorry. I didn't realize how great the catch was until I saw it on replay. I just thought, oh, he just jumped up, made the catch, big deal. But if you watch that replay in slow motion, the man just palms the ball and brings it down in one hand. It was simply amazing. While falling backwards, you just don't see that from a freshman. You don't see it from a freshman.
He didn't even. I thought the funniest thing was he didn't even know what the play was. He didn't. He was saying that afterwards. He's like, I didn't know what the play was. I was just kind of trying to get it. It was a broken play because Omar had to run around a little bit, and it was something else. And Philip Payne now 3 games into his career, 12 catches for I believe 131 yards. 4 touchdowns. He's no freshman.
He's a man. Let's just be real. That boy is no longer a boy. He a man. And when you have Payne and now you have Wolf and Flair, that receiving core just got really deep now, because you can't double team Casey, you can't double team Ryan. You got to play them all single or play zone, and that opens up the door for Omar to find holes in the defense and opens up Frank for the running game. So this offense is starting to come together now from these past 3 games.
Well, let's look ahead a little bit. First, let's look to this weekend against Iowa State. Of all the things you saw UNLV do most notably in the second half, what do you think is the one that needs to carry over more than anything to next Saturday at 6 p.m.?
They got to bring that running game back. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they were controlling that ball in the second half, they scored the last 13 points of this ballgame. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, when they needed to score, they scored. And when they had that running game going, that offense is really tough to stop. No matter who you are, Arizona State, Iowa State, Utah. I mean, they held Utah in the first half of that game when their offense was rolling. They have to get that running game back, and that opens up the door for Omar and everybody else to play better. What do you think?
It's very hard to disagree with that. And, you know, Iowa State, I guess throw something different out there, because I agree that that is the one that needs to carry over most. But I guess even another would be the defense, the ability for the defense to create 3 and outs, which it hadn't really done in a couple weeks. you know, you're going up against an Iowa State team that traditionally on the road is not very good. Gene Chizik, their second-year coach, so far in his second season, or in his one-plus seasons at in Ames, they're 0-6 away from home. So, you know, that carries some weight. But this is a team that does have a pretty strong defense. So, I mean, I think UNLV's defense is going to have to match the test in that regard. But honestly, this is a game that UNLV should win. And we haven't said that since week one when they played the worst team in Division I football. So, you know, this is the pressure's on. You know, I mean, they were celebrating after that game last night like they'd won the Super Bowl.
It was truly amazing to watch. I mean, you had...
It really was. You had guys crying.
Coach was crying. Players were crying. Assistant coaches were crying. Families were crying. It was... I've never seen anything like that in a college football game outside of winning a conference title or a national championship or a big bowl game.
But now they gotta take a page out of the book, which they just wrote for Arizona State, which is why you don't lose focus. Arizona State lost focus on UNLV. They lost the game. UNLV cannot lose focus. They can't be patting themselves on the back. And, you know, they talked about how they all seem to know that after today and starting Monday, it's all Iowa State. But they got to make sure that happens, because if you linger on this one too much, you're only going to lead up to a letdown, and they can't afford a letdown right now.
UNLV really won in that game against Arizona State. You talked to Coach afterwards. He said his players believe they're going to win that game. They now have to believe that they'll win every game they play, or else they can be running into trouble later on in the season.
And you know, also from the sense that, like you said, or like we said earlier, there's going to be about 8,000 to 10,000 more people. You can't. This is your chance to wow them and to, I guess, build more of a fan. This is your chance to build something. It really is.
I mean, I got to give props to Coach Mike Sanford as well. I mean, he got the boys prepared all week long. He coached a good game, and he probably got the biggest victory in his career. I mean, he opened up a lot of eyes, fans wise, who did not believe in this man. And when you go on the road and beat the number 15 team in the nation, I mean, that's going to give you a lot of props with the fan base and whoever else you need to impress to do what you got to do for this job.
Well, let's before we wrap up the show here, let's talk about Coach Sanford a little bit, okay? He's matched the win total from each of his first three seasons now, 3 weeks into the season. He's in a position to I guess, maybe eliminate some of those questions about whether or not he's the man for this job. I'm of the opinion that I don't think last night saved his job.
It did a lot to help him keep his job.
It put him in a good position to keep his job.
The question is what happens now? So, I mean, he beat Arizona State. He got that one. But where do you go from now?
That's what I want to ask you. What needs to happen for that job to be safe the rest of the season?
I mean, earlier in the year I said 5 wins. But now that they've
now it changes.
Now it changes. I mean, now that you win this game and you look at your upcoming schedule, we could be talking UNLV bowl game. Mm-hmm. I haven't said those words since my NCAA 07 days when I had them in my dynasty. But, I mean, if he can get them to a bowl game, he will probably be Mountain West Coach of the Year outside of BYU.
Unless BYU gets to the well, BCS, yeah.
But that would be huge for the fan base and everything, just getting some notoriety on the national level that UNLV is not a program that is disrespected. Coach said they felt disrespected by everybody, and now they're just out to get respect on everybody who disrespected them. Point blank.
Yeah. And they've put in a lot of work to get to this point right here after 3 weeks. Just can't let up. That's gotta be the key, I would imagine.
You gotta keep going. There's no red light, we're on green light right now. Not even a yellow. It's all green, baby. No stop signs.
Just like it was all green on the drive back.
Yes, sir.
When your boy got that speeding ticket.
Woo, 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 woo. And your boy did not do anything or say anything to the cops, we just said.
84 and a 65.
Ew.
Well,
it was all for UNLV, though. We tried to get back for practice, and that's what happens.
This is true.
It's all for work.
Maybe Coach Sanford will cover that ticket for
Maybe
me.
Maybe somebody can do something about that.
If any listeners want to hook up. Well, before we get out of here, let's give you a preview of what you're going to be able to find on Las Vegas Sun the rest of this week leading up to UNLV Iowa State on Saturday. Let's start. We're gonna have stories every day of the week for you. Alex and company are gonna be bringing you videos all week.
By the way, if you haven't seen the video from the Arizona State game, not just because it was done by myself and it was a great video, you should watch it just so I can get paid. You know what I'm saying? So a brother can feed his family. and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But it's actually a good video. You should watch it online at LasVegasSun.com. But like Ryan was saying, we will have videos all week long preparing you for this big game coming up on Saturday on 702.tv, on Vegas TV, on All In, Thursdays 5:30 on Vegas TV. We have UNLV football cold right now.
We've also got, we're going to have another edition of the Rebel Room later in this week, before UNLV Iowa State. We will also have Jason Beauchamp blogging for us. He may be blogging for us twice this week. His blog, the junior linebacker, his blog, Judgment Days, he's going to be blogging once, maybe twice this week. There's going to be so much. You're going to be sick of UNLV football.
We're going with UNLV overload right now.
You're going to be sick of it.
You will either love us or hate us by the time this week's done. Hopefully you'll love us. And then you'll tell all your friends about LasVegasSun.com. And all their friends, so we can all be friends.
I like the way you think.
Hey, I mean, I'm just trying to do what I got to do to survive, you know what I'm saying?
Any final comments before we get out of here?
Big ups, UNLV football. Big ups. I didn't believe. I may start believing now.
Big up to P-Pain.
P-Pain. Not T-Pain. P-Pain. That's our new nickname for you, P-Pain.
The only nicknamed Pain in Vegas. Well, for Alex Adianju, I am Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room. We will talk to you later this week before UNLV takes on Iowa State. Thanks for listening. Take care.